How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined again for the second time, by Harrison Fagan. For whatever reason, his microphone just doesn't want to operate. Honestly, I think it's doing this whole country a service, but who am I to judge? As always, before we jump into anything, you can find our show on Audio Boom, on iTunes, on Silver Screen and Roll via article, and on Stitcher. We're still working on SoundCloud. I promise we're going to get that up as soon as we possibly can. Today's show is going to start with Luke Walton's comments. As you mentioned, That was before we were recording this one. But it was Podception is going to be the title of this podcast because Luke Walton appeared on a podcast, and we're going to talk about his appearance on another podcast. And then finally, we'll get to some questions ranging from serious and insightful to completely goofy, and that should take everybody through their Tuesday afternoon. Harrison, how are you handling the heat? Because I'm not handling it very well at all.
I think a little better than you. It's a little cooler in Newport than up in the mountains where you live. I got a good fan going. I think I'm doing okay so far. I'm definitely ready to talk some Lakers.
I am not, to be. It is so hot in my house, and I was driving around today in a car with no AC. So if I sound a little bit frazzled or more frazzled than usual, that's my excuse. I'm sticking to it.
Sure, boss. We'll call it frazzled. Frazzled by the heat. Okay, that's the excuse we're going with tonight.
All right, so I'll go ahead and lob the intro to you as far as what Luke Walton spoke to Shaq about today on, what is it called, the Big Shaq podcast or the Big Podcast?
Yeah, it's called the Big Podcast with Shaq. So you were close. The Big Shaq podcast. He's like a Khaleesi in that he has like 50,000 titles.
Yeah.
So it would be better if it was like the Big Shaq This podcast featuring the Big Aristotle, the most quotatious, like, like breaker of rims, destroyer of other teams' NBA title dreams, Shaquille O'Neal, like something like that.
Taker of heat. Yeah. But what did he of all those names speak to? He of head coach of the Lakers. That's the only title we have on Luke Walton so far. But what did they talk about? How did it pertain to the Lakers? How did Luke sound? I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't listen to the podcast because I can't stand Shaq for more than about a minute.
Yeah, well, see, this is why we're a good team, because I have the ability to read and transcribe and listen to things, and you just kind of like spout hotness out of you about them, like matching the weather. And so I think that's why we work well together. But so one thing that you're going to find interesting about these comments is that it kind of reflects the tenor that I think you've been clamoring for almost as much as anyone, which is just kind of expectations, not setting expectations too high, because, you know, as a wise person once told me, expectations are the root of disappointment. If you have lower expectations, you're less likely to be disappointed. And so Walton, I thought, did a good job of kind of setting the bar low today on the podcast. And when Shaq asked that, or it was either the Shaq or the host asked him, what were his expectations as far as win-loss record? Were they going to make the playoffs, that type of thing? And he said, here's Walton's quote. "The expectations to me aren't going to be wins and losses right now, at least. The expectations are going to be the way we play. It's about having an edge when you play. It's about competing every single time on offense and defense. It's about playing the right way." And so I thought, you know, that was like a good tenor coming from the organization and someone who is kind of now, as we've talked about, the head coach is kind of the de facto voice of the organization because they're the one that speaks to the media most frequently. And I think that it was kind of a good starting point for him.
I feel like at every single opportunity, Luke Walton has produced the perfect soundbite that he can absolutely produce right there, right? I mean, I haven't heard him say anything that I even remotely scoffed at. And this is me who, you know, I read between
the
lines.
We're both cynics. Let's be real. We're both cynics.
Right. Well, we're both cynics. And before I started doing this, it was my job to, you know, A, read between the lines, and B, produce messages that if somebody were trying to read between the lines, that the message would still get put across, right? And at every single turn here, I haven't been able to read between the lines to find out anything that I really have that large an issue with. And when you consider where we're coming from, not just with, you know, Byron, but overall with the Lakers, communication with their fan base isn't very good, right? So I'm marveling at how good he appears to be at a very important aspect of a pretty difficult job at some points.
I don't know that I agree that their communication with the fan base hasn't been good. I think the communication's, maybe this is semantics, but I think the communication's been getting through. I just don't know that it's been a great message. Every year it's been like, oh, you know, we don't shoot for anything less than the postseason or titles or count the banners. And, you know, I think this is a team that if everything goes right, we can compete for a playoff spot. And, you know, talking like that, it doesn't help, because instead of maybe getting that surprise playoff spot, if like literally everything broke right, you know, it's now a disappointment that they didn't get a playoff spot, because those expectations were kind of put out there. And I don't want to give the fans too little credit, but when you're setting the bar for yourself there, then it's like we talked about, it's only setting the team up to disappoint. Whereas if the tenor of the last couple of years had been, you know, we're a rebuilding team, there's not a lot of talent, but we want to grow, we want to show that we're making progress, I think kind of I think people would have been a lot happier watching the Lakers.
Right. My thing is,
To some degree, this is something that we've discussed before, where having Kobe on the roster didn't really allow them to do that. And so, you know, him not being there kind of allows them to set the bar a little lower, because they don't have to worry about, you know, Kobe's image and that kind of thing.
Part of communicating, though, is understanding the message, right? And look, yes, they could have been trying to figure out the proper way to sell the team, not literally sell the team, but to their fan base, right?
Like how advertise it.
Right. Like how best can we get butts in the seats? And forever, for as long as the Lakers have been around, the best way to do that has been by, you know, advertising a competitive team, a competitive roster, and lofty goals, right? And part of, like I said, part of communicating is understanding realistically what kind of message is actually going to be most beneficial. And while it might have frustrated Kobe, while it might have frustrated fans with Kobe hanging around, the concern becomes, well, how are we going to deal with every single year the same lack of meeting expectations? And really all that stems from is not understanding how to properly set expectations. So I would say that, you know, in terms of actually getting the message out to fans, and like you said, this is partially semantics, but in terms of, you know, I don't think any fan really needs for communication with the Lakers. I think the Lakers are all over the place no matter what. I just think the aspect of communication that they really needed to improve on, and it's something that Luke Walton has immediately stepped in and done, is understanding how to properly set expectations, understanding how best to be on the same page with your fan base, given what kind of message you probably are best sending.
Yeah, I think we basically agree on that it's essentially semantics that we're arguing. I think we're on the same page about that the message they're sending out now is a much more productive one, and it puts less pressure on the players. And that's not to say that they should be coddled, but it does, you know, that helps, that they're going to be able to sneak up on some people rather than having a target on their back where, you know, Like, not that, you know, every team kind of wants to come into LA and beat the Lakers. Like, that's just kind of how it is. It's like, a, you know, people grew up watching them on national TV, and that's, I'm sure, a fun thing for players on other teams. And so not having them kind of set up the fan base with, or set up, like, with bulletin board material or whatever you want to call it, of like, oh, we think this team's going to be good. We think this team's going to be this and that. You know, I think it helps the players, too, in that they aren't going to be as disappointed in themselves when they don't meet those expectations.
Absolutely. Was there anything else from Luke's appearance on the big podcast with Shaq? 73
first
names.
King of the Andals, breaker of chains,
breaker of free throws. But was there anything else that you caught and found interesting that Luke had to say?
So the most interesting thing that he had to say otherwise was they asked him who the leaders of the team were. And Shaq, I did think that it was amusing that Shaq said, I think he said something like, Lord, please tell me it's not Nick Young. And I think I heard Luke Walton chuckle. I can't confirm that, but because Shaq's co-host laughed pretty loud. So I don't know if Luke Walton laughed at that joke or if he just was kind of like, Shaq, come on, man. Like, don't do this to me.
All right, we need somebody to get on this. Somebody listen. We need a bunch of people to listen to that podcast and tell
us
whether or not.
Go isolate the audio. Tweet it at us.
We'll put it as a poll. Did Luke Walton laugh at Nick Young? Does Luke Walton hate Nick Young? Do the Lakers hate Nick Young? Should Nick Young be on the Lakers anymore? Please, dear God, get Nick Young off the Lakers.
Okay, so this is a very confusing yes or no poll question on Twitter, I think. They're like, you're coming at them. Number one, I don't know if that's going to fit into 140 characters. So you're just, I don't know. Do you understand Twitter? No, you don't understand Twitter. You're old. But
have you seen my account? Have you seen my timeline?
Yeah, that's a fair point. But so getting back to the actual podcast. So after, you know, Shaq made that joke, Luke Walton, he said, you know, I've spent the majority of my time with the young guys at Las Vegas Summer League, and D'Angelo has been phenomenal as far as being vocal in practice and doing what we ask of him as a coaching staff and coming in early and after practice and getting work in. So right now he's shown he's capable of being a leader and that he's working on being a leader.
That sounds about right.
So I thought that was it. That kind of vibes with what I think all of us saw at Summer League, where it looked like he was trying to take a more vocal leadership. And so that's a positive comment from a Lakers coach about D'Angelo Russell. That's number one. That's good to hear. And it's also encouraging to hear that it looks like he's kind of trying to take ownership of this young team, which is what we thought. And ultimately, that's going to be a good thing going forward if he establishes himself as the alpha dog, because if things kind of play out the way that people hope, he's going to be either the best or second best player on this team at some point. And, you know, depending on how Brandon Ingram, how high he climbs. And so for him to be taking kind of that alpha dog role, I think is important, especially with the amount of guys on this team that are a little bit more soft-spoken personalities, even if they're confident.
Do you think Russell can assume that responsibility?
I think this year, I think as like a 20-year-old, it's going to be kind of hard because there are going to be veterans in the locker room. I think when it comes to, I think by the end of the year, probably, I think right now he'll be one of the leaders. He'll be like kind of a leader among the young guys at times. But I think a lot of the times they're going to be looking to those veterans and the coaching staff more than Russell so far. But him kind of taking baby steps to establish that, I think is good.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that's going to happen overnight. I don't think it's something that even if Luke Walton, you know, throws that out there, it's not like the rest of the team is going to say, all right, looks like we got to listen to D'Angelo. You know, it's one of those things that it's going to take, you know, it'll probably take the whole year. It might even take beyond this year for one, D'Angelo Russell to be ready to send any kind of message to the team. And two, for the rest of the team to be ready to listen to him. And it's not, this isn't, you know, a knock on Russell. It's just we as human beings, we as a species, don't necessarily like being led, even by peers. You know, we like to think that we have some kind of freedom of choice or freedom of whatever. We have a freedom over ourselves. And being led can sometimes make other people on that roster say like, well, wait a tick. He's been here just as long as I have, what's going on here?
Yeah, and then I think also bottom line is you have to be able to back it up on the court. Like, if he's going to be the vocal leader of the team, he generally, those guys, you have to be the best player, and you have to go out there and show it. Like, imagine if somebody came in on the first day of their job at a company you had been working at, or they came in at the same time as you, and they were at the exact same position, and they were just acting like, you know, you had to listen to them and all of that. Like, it wouldn't work. He's going to have to kind of prove it on the court and take ownership through his play, I think.
You don't have to speak directly about how I handled the hosting situation with this podcast. Like, you don't have to air our dirty laundry out there like that for everybody to hear.
You know, man, I was going to leave it as a verbal subtweet, but if you want to get into it, then that's fine. We can fight right here.
It'd be great if it was just beep.
We can do that. Our editing skills of this audio is getting better. We'll be able to do that by the end of the week. Just bleep each other out.
Man, you guys missed it, but that was one angry fight between Harrison and I. That was something. Good thing those things will never see the light of day.
I'm glad we cut off the podcast for 30 minutes so that we could yell at each other.
All right, we're gonna try to get this thing back on the rails. Even though Harrison, you said some really hurtful things. I tried to keep it professional.
I apologize. Yeah, I'm really sorry. That was unnecessary.
So I guess we were talking about Luke Walton's comments about D'Angelo Russell. Is Russell ready to take leadership and ownership of this team? I think he is. But I also, even if he's ready, it's one of those things that's going to take a little while to take hold. Do you want to just jump into the questions, or did Luke Walton have anything else to say about, I guess we're talking completely about Russell, but I believe Walton mentioned Randall in this equation too, right?
Yeah, well, so the reason I didn't bring up Randall right off the bat is just because Walton said, I think Julius has a natural leadership ability about him, but I haven't spent a ton of time with Julius yet, so it's hard to say for sure. And so I guess he's kind of taking the we'll see approach with that. So it was kind of, he erred on the side of caution, and, you know, but I think that Randall could have a loud voice in this team. He's a very confident guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Russell seems to be kind of the more outwardly talkative type of confident that is going to be kind of more of the leadership role.
I can't help but come back to that would have been a nice thing to figure out at Summer League when they had the opportunity to play with each other for another extra couple weeks.
You're being ridiculous. He was never going to play as a third-year player. Third-year players, unless they're terrible, just don't play in Summer League. Or, like, they're rehabbing or something. Like, it's just really rare. But
Silverman. Only Sarah Silverman gets to tell people who's being ridiculous, okay? That's how that works out.
Understand this reference.
Oh, it was, never mind. People who watch the DNC stuff today will understand. But my thing is, okay, fine. If Randall wasn't going to play in this thing, or only bad third year players play in this thing, sure. But he played on a bad team. Like, okay, great. He wasn't awful, but his team was, and it's a really young team. And you want a team like that, especially with a brand new coach, to get as much reps as they can possibly get. This would have been a nice thing to have, another nice thing to have ironed out before the season starts. Instead, it's another wait and see approach when they had the opportunity to figure some stuff out.
Okay, so here's my counter argument. Because there is, like we've said, third year players just don't really play in Summer League. And so I think that there's also a bit of a stigma there that he's putting on himself if he does suit up to play. People are like, oh, what's wrong with Randall that he's at? Like, even if he has success, people just go, oh, so he's a third-year player playing in Summer League, dominating. Like, he's a lottery pick. This is what he should be doing. And if he doesn't, then he's disappointed. And
you
so...
What else is a pretty bad stigma?
What?
A dude who was highly inefficient on a 17-win team thinking he's above playing in any basketball whatsoever. Like, that's...
So we can't say that he thinks that he's above playing in playing basketball. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right way to frame this. But, like, do you kind of see what I'm saying about he really can't win if he plays in Summer League? Because if he goes out there and plays and he doesn't dominate, then it's a failure. And if he does dominate, then people are like, oh, well, I mean, that's what a third-year lottery pick should be doing in Summer League.
But isn't that like it's the that's the same cop out LeBron James has been using as, you know, as to whether or not he wants to do a slam dunk contest, that it's a lose lose situation. If he wins, great, he's LeBron.
I don't blame LeBron for not wanting to do a slam dunk because I agree with him in that case.
It's still a lame cop out. Like at the end of the day, we're gonna look back on LeBron's career and say, you know, it would have been kind of nice to watch him in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know what I could compare it to for us or for an everyday thing, but it's just like it's hard for me to say that I'd do something similar where it's a lose-lose situation. Where, like, if I was asked to go write for, like, a terrible site and, like, I went there and did well, people would be like, oh, well, like, of course, like, you know, whatever.
Like, I don't think it's even lose-lose for Randy.
Like, if I was asked to go write for, like, a 13-year-old's MySpace page or something, and, like, I wrote better than they did, then they're like, oh, well, no, duh. Like, he's been writing for, like, this amount of years. But, you know, if I didn't, like, knock it out of the park, then it's like all of a sudden I'm a failure.
But I don't think it's a lose-lose situation. If Randall goes there, and let's say he doesn't even dominate. Like, let's say he goes over there and he plays well, and he shows himself to be the leader that Luke Walton thinks he is, that's a win. And the positive headlines that come out of there wind up being a win. You know, I just look, I'm not saying that this is going to make or break his career. Like I said, you know, I there was a back and forth on Twitter. Yeah, there was a back and forth on Twitter where I think people took it as if I thought this was this end, you know, be all or end all situation for Randall. I don't think that's it at all. I'm just saying it would have been nice to play an extra 5 games, to get an extra week or so of practice. He's working out anyway. I don't see what you know, practice, either practice with your team or practice by yourself. I don't think it matters either way, but I think it would have been nice to have, you know, just a little bit of just an extra tidbit of, or an extra, not tidbit, but an extra push towards the regular season that he might have gotten from summer league. And I know, honestly, you want to call it win-win, but I think I could make it, or you want to call it lose-lose. I think I could make the case it's a win-win situation.
I can see a scenario where it's better for him just in that Larry Nance Jr. isn't out there getting the immediacy bias, where it's like he's the most recent one that we've seen play well. And I know that's kind of the argument that you were making, that it would have helped Randall out to be out there for that reason. But I still think that the downsides outweigh the upsides.
Well, it's like, all right, a couple things. And this isn't an apples to apples comparison, right? But I'm not going to leave this podcast for a month and let somebody else swoop in and take my spot because I enjoy this podcast. And while I think I'm all right at this, there's a very good chance, if not, it's altogether likely that somebody could step in and do a better job than me. That's why I'm not vacating the seat until somebody takes it from my cold, dead hands. And like,
no, I'm going to try and find my Larry Nance Jr., just so you know. Maybe it's Larry Nance Jr. He's a good talker. He's a good podcast guest. Maybe I could get him on to come host.
The other point, too, is that guess who we saw quite a few leadership qualities from while he was out there in Vegas? Larry Nance Jr.
Okay, yeah. I was like, who? A lot of guys.
We saw Larry Nance Jr. do everything that it sounds like Luke Walton is hoping Julius Randle does. And again, it's just you don't present an opportunity for your employer to find out that somebody else can do your job potentially better than you, right? And I don't think, again, it sounds like this is some kind of hot take, and this isn't me doing my version of Harrison's hot takes on a Tuesday.
Don't you dare steal my segment. I'm not letting you come in and take my roster spot.
But this is just me saying you don't present that opportunity out there because it just plants that seed in at least the fans' eyes, if not the organization's eyes, to say, hey, well, let's see what else, you know, this other guy might present. And if Randall winds up getting traded, if he gets traded and he loses sleep over it, he kind of has himself to blame to a certain extent.
I guess. I don't think that summer league is what is going to make or break that. But
no. I'm to a certain extent. It might not be a large extent, okay, but a certain one. Speaking of Julius Randle, we got a few questions here. We kind of got to move on. We didn't anticipate the show to go in that
that was not planned at all. Like, no. I guess we should brawl for 30 minutes in the middle of a podcast and then cut it out more often, because I think it gives us our best ideas.
I agree. So we have.
So speaking of Randle. We got a question from Sean_LAL16, and he asks, what do you think Julius and Clarkson's role can be on this team in 3 years? And so we talked a little bit about Randle, and you just basically said he's going to be traded because he didn't play in Summer League. You heard it here first from Anthony. So what team do you see him on in 3 years when he's a busting out of the league because he didn't play in Summer League?
He's going to be in China. He's going to be...
Oh, my God.
No, but all right. So in 3 years from now, you would think that these guys have pretty much become the players that they've become. Now, the issue with Julius Randle is I don't really know what kind of player he can become, but I do think we know what Jordan Clarkson is heading towards, right? And I think his best spot on a good team is going to be as a six-man combo guard, point guard, combo guard off the bench, kind of scoring threat. He can dissect the defense with his athleticism. One would hope he would improve on his defense in general. But if not, like, Jamal Crawford has never been that great of a defender, and he's done all right in the NBA. If Jordan Clarkson heads towards being a more efficient Jamal Crawford, then I think that'd be a great career for a 46 overall pick. What would you see as...
all he has to do is be one of the best six men in history, but more efficient.
Well, no, I guess the knock on Jamal has always been his efficiency, right?
Yeah.
I
see what you're saying. I just had to give you a hard time about that. Well,
it's like Draymond with a better first step. I can see the possibility. I would say that would be a best case scenario for him. But if he gets, a good portion of the way there, I could see that as being a realistic goal. How about for Julius Randle? Where do you see him since you're convinced he's a future Hall of Famer above playing in Summer League? Where do you think Julius Randle winds up?
So that's the interest, because he didn't play in Summer League and because we've only seen him on a garbage Lakers team, it's hard to know exactly what he is. I think that he could be anything from like the team's kind of point forward of the future with his ball handling ability. And if his playmaking kind of improves, he could be like a major, like a really helpful part of a good starting five. But if not, I could definitely see him as like sort of Lamar Odom type player, where he's that big guy off the bench that comes in and handles the ball a little bit and does helpful things like Lamar used to do.
Yeah, I honestly think that's where his career is heading right now because of...
I don't think he's going to be as good as Lamar, to be clear.
Oh, yeah.
But I just mean a similar type role.
I think the reason and we went over this a little bit, was it yesterday? Yesterday, right? Where we talked about the starting five. Sure if you guys missed that conversation, the podcast is on iTunes, same category. If you don't want to miss any of these things, make sure you subscribe. How about that for a organic plug? But I do think...
A lot more organic before you mentioned it.
But I do think the reason I think Randle's career is heading towards, somebody coming off of the bench is how much he needs the ball to be successful while on the court. And I just don't think he's a good enough player to where you just hand him the ball and you say, take us to the promised land among the actual core of whichever team he's on. Now, again, this is us talking. He's entering his third year. So anybody who's listening to this, I'm not saying that we know exactly what he is. I'm actually saying the opposite. I have no idea what he might be. But as of right now, that's where his career appears to be heading.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I think, I really can't argue. The thing is it's just like I said, it's hard to know for sure. Just because we the only information we have about him is him playing on kind of a crappy team. And so while I don't think that means he definitively should have played in Summer League, it just means it's hard to predict for him right now.
Right.
So, Sean, that was a very good question. You are a light in the darkness of a few bad questions that we got tonight. So I appreciate you. Special shout out again to @Sean_LAL16.
All right. So what was the next question we got?
So I think that what we should do for today is take one more question, and then I think we say it. We have a mailbag tomorrow. We round up questions, and you and I will just rapid fire answer a bunch of them on tomorrow's pod.
Tomorrow is going to be a Tuesday show, and then the next one is going to be a Wednesday. That's how that's
going
to work.
Well, so this is Tuesday's show, and then the next one is going to be Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll call it a We're Here For You Wednesday. That's what we're going to call our mailbag.
Wednesday. Okay, we'll come up with a better name than that. But so this one's from friend of the show, Jacob Rude, @Jacob Rude. If you're not following him on Twitter, you should just rectify that. You should be doing that.
Or don't.
Really good photographer, really good writer. Comes from a Wabash, which sounds like a whip. It's spelled like the sound a whip would make in a comic book or something.
Wabash sounds like somebody was saying wash and then they got punched in the stomach. Like Wabash, ow. You know, that's what I took it.
Anyway, shout out to Jacob. But he asked if you could pick any former Laker to join the current roster in their prime. Who would you pick and why?
Do you want to start this? I guess I started the last one. You go ahead and start this one.
I think it's everyone's dream. It's got to be Magic, right?
Magic.
Like, bring Magic in and have him be point center. I want to see that.
It'd be fun.
That gets me more excited than any hypothetical basketball scenario I can think of off the top of my head. Other than if you brought Kobe with it to play with him too, and Shaq, and then it's just 82-0. But seeing Magic Johnson in today's NBA as a point forward, point center type player, would just be unbelievable.
Yeah, that's Magic is always a great answer. Now, the issue is the answer to any such question is going to be Slava Medvedenko. He's who you want to see in any of these situations. But
just choked on my coffee. So I hope you're
my actual answer to this is going to be Shaq. I think Shaq fits what, early Shaq, not fat, not company time Shaq, but early Shaq.
Early 0001 Shaq.
Yeah, the Shaq who could get up and down the court, and I just want to. I honestly, Shaq more than any other player in the history of basketball is somebody who I want to see how they do in or how he would do in his prime, in this current iteration of basketball, this current style of basketball, how it's being played right now, where it's so 3-point dominant and how it's spread out. I dare Draymond Green to try to guard Shaq in the post. I double dog dare him and do it.
I was just talking with someone about this today. It's like Shaq is one of those players you think of that, if those Lakers teams, the Shaq Kobe ones, they're one of the few squads, I think, that could force the Warriors to go back big again.
Right. I mean, Shaq was just that dynamic a player. I don't think it's really in question.
He'd dunk it every time on Draymond Green. I have zero confidence. I'm kind of as big of a Draymond Green stan as anyone. And, I mean, short of kicking him in the balls, I don't know what he's going to do to stop Shaq.
And don't even try to pretend that Draymond would stop short of doing that, too.
Yeah, actually, that's a fair point. He's just going to do that. He's not going to stop. He's just going to do that and hope that, Shaq has to go take a breather for 5 minutes and the lineup of death can go off on Slava Medvedenko.
That was a great question. All right, so this podcast went a little further. We didn't anticipate that Julius Randle conversation, but I think it was a good one. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, everybody, for the questions. We're actually going to pick up right here tomorrow Wednesday.
You're listening to this on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we're going to pick up this discussion and do another mailbag.
Right. I guess our very first one where it's the two of us, right? So
yeah, we'll do a real mailbag, not just a couple questions at the end. A fun, we're going to be soliciting questions from you guys throughout the day. Just add us on Twitter, @HMFagan, @AnthonyIrwinLA. at Laker, at Locked On Lakers. Please follow that account if you're not doing so already.
I agree there. And then also, I mean, I don't think Silver Screen and Roll, I don't think SB Nation gets enough credit for what they've done for the show, because being able to put the show in articles and SB Nation being open to letting us use their platform for the show has been absolutely vital. So thank you very much for that. Make sure you follow Lakers at Lakers.
And comment on the articles. That's another way you can get questions in for us. If you listen to the show directly on the site, go ahead and comment on the article. I check the comments. So.
Yep, absolutely. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. This was a lot of fun. I'm going to try to – I might just immerse myself in some cold water. This is just, it is unbearable.
And people, these are the things that people care about.
Like Harrison said, he gave out all the information. Again, you can find us on Audio Boom, on iTunes. We talked about Silver Screen and Roll. We talked about Stitcher. I'm working on SoundCloud. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. And we'll talk to everybody again with all, we'll answer all of your questions. I'm guaranteeing we will answer every single question in Wednesday's show. I'm saying that right now, even if it's not even Lakers related. I did that with our first, you know, when it was just me.
This is not going to go well.
This is where it's going. We can always pretend Harrison wasn't on the show with me if needed.
I'm about to get fired. It's fine. Let's do it.
All right. We'll talk to everybody later.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
It's fall at JCPenney. Time to refresh your closet. This Thursday through Monday, get Levi's lowest prices of the season on 514 straight fit jeans for guys, $36.99. And select Arizona booties for her for $35.99. Plus, save an additional 50% off clearance prices already reduced by 60 to 80%. And get an extra $10 off with your coupon. Hurry in now. JCPenney. Coupon valid 10-5 to 10-9. Levi's and other brands excluded from coupon. Clearance selections vary by store while supplies last. Savings off regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. See store or jcp.com for details. Season refers to 9/27 to 10/18.